Whatever its possible benefits, a war in Iraq would put American soldiers at risk. When you start asking people if they're comfortable with that risk, you may get different answers from soldiers and civilians. It's often said that soldiers are the most reluctant to go to war. In a speech last summer, retired General Anthony Zinni said it again about Iraq.
It might be interesting to wonder why all the generals see it the same way, and all those that never fired a shot in anger that are really hell-bent to go to war see it a different way. It's usually the way it is in history.
Zinni was talking about leaders in the Pentagon and the Bush administration. Two researchers have been finding similar divisions across the country, and they join us now. Peter Fever is an associate professor of political science at Duke University and director of the Triangle Institute for Security Studies. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Also, we're speaking with Christopher Gelpy. He's an associate professor of political science at Duke University as well, and welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Fever, can you just give me an idea of what American political leaders assume about the public that needs to support them when they're deciding whether to commit American troops to war? What are they thinking about the possibility of American casualties?
Well, we found is that the political leaders have been assuming wrongly that the American public demands zero casualty operations, that they'll only support the war if no one dies. And so for a decade or so, the U.S. political leadership has tried to deliver on that promise, only going to war when they thought they could keep casualties to a very low and deploying in such a way that would minimize casualties. And our research suggests that that's too exacting a standard, that the public as a whole doesn't demand that.
Your research suggests that people are willing to accept a lot of American casualties?
Well, no. The public falls into one of four groups. One of the groups, maybe 10 to 20% of the American public, they'll oppose every use of force. These are the people that'll oppose it, whether the Nazis are crossing the Potomac or whether we're talking about Afghanistan. Now, they're balanced by a larger group, maybe 25 or 30% of the public, that seem to support every use of force. And then in between, that's the middle ground that the political leadership has to mobilize. And one of these groups is indeed casualty phobic, that says, we'll support the war provided that no one dies. But there's a larger group, and this is the key group, we would argue, that they're not casualty phobic. They're willing to pay a price if that price is necessary to pay, provided that you win. They're not casualty phobic, they're defeat phobic.
Christopher Gelpy, maybe I can bring you in at this point. There's another aspect of your research that was particularly interesting to me, and that is the idea of the difference in attitudes between people who've been in the military or know somebody who's been in the military or are related to them and people who don't have that experience.
Yes. One of the things that came out of our survey is that the extent to which people are connected to the military reduces their willingness to tolerate casualties.
We live in a country where 40, 50 years ago, almost everybody knew somebody who'd been in the military or had been in the military themselves. That has dramatically changed now with the volunteer military force. What has that done to overall American attitudes and willingness to send troops off to war?
Well, I think what it's done is it's made the question of whether to use force more of a hypothetical question for the American public. So when the surveyor goes and talks to John Q. Public, that guy is thinking about it in a pure hypothetical sense because no one he knows is likely at risk from that.
Christopher Gelpy, you folks also spoke to members of the military, current members of the military, right?
Yes, that's correct. We interviewed military officers.
And can you give me an idea of what their views were about the use of force?
They tended to have a narrower range of types of missions that they wanted to engage in, and these were more of the kind of traditional military missions of defending U.S. allies. And they also felt like if the U.S. was going to use force in these missions, that it ought to do so on a very large scale. So they were very opposed to this sort of pinprick responses that were often advocated by civilian leaders with no military experience. And I would say that the sort of evaporation of veterans from among the American political elite has led to a situation where that sort of military understanding of foreign policy and the use of force is becoming rarer and rarer among our political leaders. And I think that has important implications for how America sees its role in the world.
Gentlemen, I'm trying to figure out what sense to make of your survey, because it seems to me that what you're suggesting is that Americans are willing to support the troops in the field. They are willing to accept a certain amount of sacrifice for the good of the country if it's necessary. But the people who are most willing to accept it are kind of disconnected from it.
But that's the nature of the democracy, is that we don't require that only sick people vote on what our health care expenditures will be, and we don't require that only people of a certain race decide what our affirmative action policy will be, that everyone is an American citizen, whether they've served or not, and everyone, therefore, must make some judgment about what our foreign policy priorities should be.
Peter Feaver and Christopher Gelpe are associate professors of political science at Duke University, and Mr. Feaver was also a member of the National Security Council staff a number of years ago under the Clinton administration. They're the authors of a forthcoming book called Choosing Your Battles, American Civil-Military Relations and the Use of Force. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.